In our studio right now is Dr. David Barron. We'll talk to Jason Nathanson, who is not a doctor, in the next half hour.
He's a doctor of TV.
Dr. Barron is the medical director at Yellow Brick. Doctor, thanks for coming in and tolerating that lousy introduction. How are you?
It's fine. It's my pleasure to be here.
So I asked you to come in because last week we wanted to talk about this story and we never had a chance. But it's the story of that 30-year-old New York man who, I'm reading now from InsideEdition.com, right, was ordered to move out of his parents' home by a judge. His name is Michael Rotondo. And Mark and Christina Rotondo had been trying for months to evict their son. 30 years old, he lives in the house, he doesn't have a job. They say he won't pay rent, he won't contribute to the household, he's just there. Rotondo's parents took him to court on Tuesday of last week to evict him from their 1,920-square-foot home in upstate New York. The judge in the case sided with the parents. Rotondo called the ruling an attack. Rotondo's parents gave him $1,100 to find a new home, but they say that he spent the money on other things. He kind of blew it. So now the news story is, okay, now another talk show host in America has offered him cash, and a company, a restaurant, has offered him a job, and they said, we'll train you. But in the telling of the story, they've been using the phrase, this is an example of somebody who has failed to launch. Now, you're at Yellow Brick, and right, that's kind of the focus of what Yellow Brick is about, right?
That is exactly our focus.
What is failure to launch?
Well, we think of it as a kind of developmental delay or arrest. There's a developmental stage we refer to as emerging adulthood, generally between the ages of 18 and early 30s, where there are a few normative, ordinary developmental tasks people have that amount to becoming independent from your parents, from your family of origin.
Like what?
Like consolidating your sense of identity, learning to regulate yourself, mastering certain kinds of executive function skills, planning, organizing.
Being able to pay rent, pay utilities.
Being able to find work, go to school to find better work.
We're talking about kids that are college age or early 20s.
Just say, you know, the very end of high school and on into early to mid-20s.
Yeah. And most of us, without even thinking about it, develop through those stages.
Yeah, most people get to take that for granted. If all the factors kind of converge in your favor, then...
So give me an example of that. So what specifically? Like somebody, though, can't keep a job or they... Can't stay in school? What are we talking about?
Can't keep a job, can't stay in school, okay. Can't get into school.
Stop right there. Can't keep a job. Anybody can keep a job. Get up, put your socks on, go to work. The failure to launch kid, you say can't do that. What do you mean he can't do that?
Well, what we deal with, the Yellow Brick, tend to be potentially disabling mental illnesses. And people with these kinds of problems, although we don't focus on a particular diagnosis, there are any number of psychiatric problems and substance abuse problems that can converge to interfere with a person's ability to accomplish those tasks.
But in the case, say, of this hypothetical kid who can't keep a job, and you said, well, there may be an underlying medical problem, a mental illness issue.
Correct.
But how do I know if it's that? And by the way, really? The inability to keep a job is a mental illness now? Or is it just... Life is nice in the basement. Why would he want to leave? He just needs a kick in the ass. He doesn't need any more diagnosis than that.
Well, without commenting on the case in the news, I can say that we often run into families where they're just struggling to renegotiate their relationships. And often the emerging adult is, kind of the identified patient and also may have objections to moving forward in life. Compounded by psychiatric symptoms, compounded by substance abuse problems, as you say, medical problems.
Well, what comes first, the substance abuse, the alcohol abuse, or, you know, so is that them dealing with it and coping with it? Or, in fact, this isn't a failure to launch. This isn't an inability to get a job. This is you're abusing drugs and alcohol. That's why you don't have a life.
Well, what comes first is actually usually a genetic vulnerability to these kinds of problems. That then gets manifested when people are facing new developmental tasks that they haven't encountered before and don't really have the skills and then are challenged emotionally in ways that disrupt them, leave them dysregulated, and unable to master these skills.
That's
and
so
tasks.
Interesting for you to say that. I have a friend who's a good friend whose son is a heroin addict, and they worry about him all of the time. And when they asked him you know, why he fell into this, or if you ask the family what happened, they will point to little incidents in his life that you and I would say, oh, that was rough, but heroin? Mm-hmm. We don't get it. And I think maybe it's there for the grace of God go a lot of us, that for some people these trigger mechanisms are out there and they happen. And it doesn't make him a bad kid or a weak kid, but that's where they are.
Well, it's, you know, things that some people experience as, you know, another day, other people experience as traumatic.
And I'm sorry, I don't mean to belabor the point, but that's legitimate. That's real.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What do you make of this attitude of mind that doesn't understand that or appreciate that?
Well, partly it's that even our field hasn't understood it until fairly recently, that there are actually complicated factors, including genetic vulnerabilities, including biological vulnerabilities, including psychological vulnerabilities, all of which converge to really be the same
things. And I think that's what my friend and family are really going through. Otherwise, everything else is normal about their life, including their other children. But boy, this one kid has just struggled, and I feel really bad about him. But then how do I contrast that, though, with is there not also a population that's skating out there?
Skated by skating, you mean?
Mm-hmm. I mean that they are taking advantage of the situation. They are lazy, or they're just underachieving, and they do need a swift kick.
Well, it's kind of ordinary to want an adult life. And so I would say even that what you're referring to is skating, that, you know, oh, I can get away with it, so I will. My parents aren't going to set limits on me, so I'll just hang out here or do as little as possible. That actually in itself may be its own kind of developmental challenge.
Well, so how often is this associated with drugs and alcohol? Or are there some kids who literally can't seem to advance lunch, and they aren't abusing drugs or alcohol?
Yeah, you know, the numbers out in the population, I couldn't tell you with specificity, but at Yellowbrick, about two-thirds of the people we work with do have some kind of alcohol or drug problem.
About two-thirds?
Yeah, which means that a third don't.
You would suggest is a relatively large number.
It's really common among people with substance abuse to also have some kind of what's traditionally referred to as a psychiatric disorder, and vice versa.
Well, so I'm not thinking, let's not talk about this young man in the news that you and I don't know, or even my friend, but I'm not thinking of these people as having psychiatric illnesses. That is, they're not bipolar, they're not manic depressive.
Well, some of them are.
Some of them are, though.
Yeah.
Some of them are, some of them aren't. Is that what you're
saying?
That's
correct.
And you at Yellowbrick treat all of these people?
That's correct, yeah.
Because, so in other words, which is interesting to me, because I would think Yellowbrick would say, okay, we're drug and alcohol, or we treat psychiatric disorders like manic depression. The result of either of those may be that you failed the launch. You'll take the failure to launch and say, we'll bring them both under the tent.
No, we're really treating a developmental stage rather than specific diagnoses. Within that developmental stage, just about everything people present us with diagnostically, we work with. But we treat the individuals, not the disorders.
Which is so interesting to me, because I just think those would fall under such different tents. For instance, autism, or young people that are somewhere on that spectrum, they have trouble staying in school or interacting or keeping jobs. We're getting better at understanding how to employ them and what great employees they can be, by the way.
True.
But would you put them into the Yellowbrick as well?
We have and have had people in our program who are on the autistic spectrum. We've had people with schizophrenia. We have people with what are traditionally referred to as personality disorders.
And do any of the family say, no, wait a minute, but my kid's autistic. He's not an alcoholic, or he's not manic depressive. Resent's not the right word, but I don't think that he should be in that population.
You know, we occasionally run into that, but we have a very thorough, extensive, and lengthy assessment process. We bring people in for 3 full days, and by the end of that, usually families are beginning to understand how we approach things, and that it's not specifically based on a diagnosis.
So then at Yellowbrick, would they all get the same kind of, they would be in the same therapy session, all talking about how are we going to keep our job or stay in school?
Well, they're talking about how are we going to move forward, whatever that means for that person. And while they all have the same services available to them, and many of them are in the same groups, we tailor treatment to each individual such that they're not all getting exactly the same treatment all the time.
I know this about alcoholics and drug addicts. They won't get better if they don't want to. Is the same true for failure to launch?
I would slightly alter that phrase. You know, at the end of our assessment, I'm always asking people, you know, about entering treatment, because that's the next step that we usually recommend. And I don't ask them if they want to. I ask them if they're willing to. It's a very different thing, because most people, if they're going to enter into a process where they have to do difficult things, face painful experiences, don't want to, but they might be willing to for a greater goal, like having their own adult life.
Hmm. What's the answer to that question usually?
It's more often yes than no.
The parents are saying yes, that's for sure.
Far more often, and yeah, somewhat more often than their sons and daughters, yes.
I need to pause. We've got some calls. Dr. David Barron is here. He's the medical director of Yellow Brick. I've been meaning to bring some of those folks from Yellow Brick on the show for a while, and then when the story about Michael Rotondo, the 30-year-old evicted from his parents' home in New York, was in the news, I thought, well, that's an interesting launching point, if you will, for this conversation, even though he may or may not be an example of what we're talking about. You don't know him. You wouldn't diagnose him sitting here.
Of course not.
But they use the expression failure to launch. And so I thought, okay, let's have this conversation. My number is 312-981-7200. And again, our guest is from Yellow Brick. Yellowbrickprogram.com is the website if you want to reach out to them. I'm just fascinated by the topic and saddened and frustrated for these families. It's just a couple of minutes in our studio from that place we talk about sometimes on the radio, Yellow Brick. Go to yellowbrickprogram.com is Dr. David Barron. He's the medical director there. We're talking about the concept of failure to launch, and Kevin had a question. You're on WGN. Kevin, what can we do for you?
Well, I was just, you know, listening to your conversation, and, you know, one of the things that I always question when you hear about these types of things is, you know, what role do the parents play in this? I mean, you know, this gentleman in New York lived in his parents' house for 8 years, okay? What took them so long to get to this point? So I guess I question, you know, all the parents who are helicopter parents who want to do everything they can for little Johnny and Sally. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, like when my kids were growing up, the fact is that the biggest issues that I had were not with my kids' friends, but with their parents, because they were the ones who were coddling them and gave them everything that they wanted without question.
Yeah, yeah. And we're all nodding our heads in the studio. Hold on, let him jump in there. Go ahead. What do you think about that?
Well, parents, of course, are part of a family system with their son or daughter. And one thing I've learned after doing this for a number of years is that blame, whether it's on the emerging adult, on the mom, on the dad, on someone else in the family, ends up generally being the end of a conversation rather than the beginning. We do want to help people understand what role they're playing. If they're doing things that are enabling their son or daughter to stay in place and not move forward, we try to help them understand that. We offer a lot of support for parents and families to aid in that process.
But maybe we shouldn't be treating the kids. We should be treating the family.
Well, we're treating kids who genuinely need treatment, and family treatment often is part of that.
Okay, so parents don't create this by their helicopter parenting?
I think that there is, it can oversimplify things, at least, again, in the sector where I'm working and the group of people I work with, it would probably oversimplify it to say it's all the parents' fault.
That's a really good call. Kevin, thank you for joining us. This texter from 630 says, my 20-year-old son suffers from depression and ADHD, but he signs up for school, he pays, and then he stops going and he fails. He's now talking about the military. You think he can handle the military? Maybe the military will fix him.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would be not ethical for me to comment on a particular person, but I can say that people who are struggling in this way often are kind of scrambling around looking for what's going to work better for me. Of course, the military is a good solution for some individuals, and it isn't for others, and for yet others, it might be a terrible idea. But it is, I think what I take from the question is there are people who kind of face this particular stage of life, and they realize that they can't quite figure out what to do, given the challenges
limitations. Well, I shouldn't be giving medical advice either, but it seems to me like the United States military is not counseling. It's not therapy.
It certainly is not. No, that it is not. It is a good fit for some people, and occasionally for people who have been struggling in certain ways, but not for everybody, and not for anyone with a serious mental illness.
Dr. David Barron is the medical director at Yellow Brick. All right. I'm fascinated. I'm a little sad.
Me too.
Well, should we be encouraged about something in this field? Maybe that we're talking about it is helpful.
The talking about it, the stigma has faded away a lot in the course of my career, which is around 30 years. Also, I think there's a lot to be hopeful in terms of what we're learning about the mind, the brain, the fact that they're the same thing. We use a lot of really interesting neuroscience technology in both in our assessment and in treatment.
That is an interesting point. I mean, so this is the thing. What do you think they do at Yellow Brick? Do they give them drugs? Do they sit in couches and talk? I suppose you do some of that. You prescribe drugs. You have therapy.
We do all of that in an individualized way. Pharmacologic therapy is informed by genetic testing. We do genetic testing on 100% of our patients.
Think about that, genetic testing. And also brain games, like training the mind, learning to see what you're experiencing, and then how can I mentally process and get over that. What a concept.
We do something called a brain gym. They're evidence-based cognitive exercises done in front of a computer facilitated by staff where people work on improving their cognitive capacities.
I was watching that, and I don't think I've ever seen anything so space-age and yet simple and clever in my life. So good luck to you guys. Good luck to your patients and their families in the failure to launch category. It's
Thank
nice to
so
meet
much.
You. Thanks for coming into our studio.